Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Revelation 16. We're going to finish the 16th chapter here this evening. And we have been looking at this 16th chapter for a couple of Wednesday nights now. And we are studying about the bowl judgments, the vial judgments. The vials were containing the judgments were poured out upon the earth, and they were very strong. All of them very, very strong. They impact all of mankind. And we left off last time at verse 14. And then if you will look at that verse, it says, "For they are the spirits of devils." So these three unclean spirits of verse 13 were spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world. Simply put, the devil is doing miraculous things in an effort to convince the leaders of the world to not to break ranks, but to follow the Antichrist, just follow him right to their own demise. And so you'll notice then it says, to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. So these devils are basically being used by God to make sure that the world comes to the Valley of Megiddo, to the plain of Esdraelon, where the Battle of Armageddon is going to take place. All right, so he is basically gathering the army together. And then in verse 15, John said that the Lord says, "Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." And he gathered them. Notice that. You see, the devil thinks he's the one that is gathering the army. All right, he has great expectations of defeating the Lord. And he's got the whole world, what's left, he's got the whole world behind him, and everybody has now gathered at the Battle of Armageddon. And so he says that he gathered them. The devil didn't gather them. The Lord gathered them. The Lord often lets the devil think he's done something when he hasn't done a thing. All right? And that's what we have here. In verse 17, then, we have now the seventh angel, and this is where we'll look at the verses we'll look at tonight. In verse 17, the Bible says, "And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne, saying, It is done. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake and so great." All right, now, there have been some really violent earthquakes through the centuries. Normally, the earthquakes are associated with or identified with volcanic activity. When you start seeing the earth begin to rattle, then it's not long before you start seeing volcanoes erupting. And all kinds of disaster can come from that. And so John said that that this earthquake that is going to hit during the latter part of the tribulation period, when the battle is being prepared for, being gathered for, that it will be that it will be an earthquake that has not been seen before on the earth. Now, can you imagine that? I mean, it's just absolutely mind-boggling to think of how devastating and how frightening this is going to be. And then in verse 19, because of the earthquake, the Bible says, and the great city was divided into three parts. All right, now I can just tell you right now, that's not New York. All right, that's not New York City. And that's not Tokyo, okay? And that great city is not Berlin, and it's not London, okay? So you make sure you keep all that straight in your mind, okay? The great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. The cities of the nations fell. That's an interesting statement right there. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. All right, so you've got a couple of really great things that are being discussed here in this seventh vial. All right, let's quickly pray, and we'll ask the Lord to help us, and then we'll dive into verse 17 through verse 21. All right, let's pray together. Our Father, thank you so much for your wonderful word, and I pray that you will bless us richly tonight as we open the word of God and look at its truths. And Father, we have learned just over the last many weeks how awful and how disastrous and how deadly these judgments that you pour out upon this earth and upon mankind during the tribulation are going to be. And now I pray as we look at the last one, as we look at this last judgment, I pray that you will bless us, give us understanding. I pray that the word of God will come alive to us this evening, and that, Father, you'll be honored and glorified in what we say. So bless now, we ask. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, the call has been sent out. The hiss, as I said last week to you, the hiss of the dragon is heard, and now the multitudes are running to aid the dragon. The ironic thing is, as I mentioned just a moment ago, the ironic thing is that the great deceiver, Satan, the dragon, thinks that he is the one who is gathering the nations together against Jerusalem and against actually against God. So the devil thinks that he is the catalyst here. And all through this great book, it becomes more and more and more clear and obvious that the devil is not calling the shots, but that the Lord God Almighty is calling the shots. Now, folks, understand this. The devil is nothing more than a yes man. He can only do what God allows him to do. He can only do what God permits. Okay? He cannot usurp the authority of God. He cannot do it. And God is the Almighty. Satan is not. He is not. And so all through the book, as it just continues to unfold, it becomes more and more clear that God is the one calling the shots. All right, now I want us to look at several verses tonight, and I don't want to wear you down, but I do want you to look at several verses. The reason I want you to look at these is, first of all, I want to get you familiar with your Bible. All right, I want you to know what the Bible has to say. So let's go back to the Old Testament for just a moment, to the next to the last book. The next to the last book, all right, you know that Italian prophet Malachi is the last book, okay? So go to the book before that, which is Zechariah, all right? Zechariah, and look, please, at chapter 12, Zechariah chapter 12. And I want you to notice something here. In verse 2, well, let's just get verse 1 and then read on. Verse 1, the burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens and layeth the foundation of the earth and formeth the spirit of man within him. Now watch this carefully. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about. I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about. Now, who are all these people round about? Muslims, the Muslim nations. Don't forget, your crescent around Israel. All right, you got that crescent of nations that are Muslim nations, and they are going to follow the Antichrist. They're going to follow him and believe everything that he tells them, especially at this stage of the game where God has given them strong delusion. Okay, so read the rest of the verse. It says, when they shall be in siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. So Zechariah is prophesying here, and he is telling us that all of these nations around Israel are going to come against Jerusalem and against Judah. Jerusalem is in Judah, and they're going to come and be in siege both against Judah and Jerusalem. And then we're told here that in this verse that the beast, the Antichrist, will invade Judah. All right, he will invade Judah. Now, this is not at the Battle of Armageddon. This is just before the Battle of Armageddon. When the Lord Jesus comes back, it is to salvage Jerusalem. All right, you've heard the cry that Arafat said for years, we're going to drive Israel into the sea. We're going to drive them into the sea. And they tried on a number of occasions and were soundly defeated each and every time they tried. And Arafat and Sadat and King Hussein over in Jordan and all the rest of them, they could just never figure out why or how Israel always seemed to win the battles. When they fought against them and the odds were totally against Israel, and they had the nations around them had the tanks and the guns and the mortars and the grenades and everything else. And by all rights, Israel should have been wiped off the face of the map. But in every situation, in 48, the 60s and 68 war, in the 70s, and you just name it, whatever battle, Israel, although grossly outnumbered and outmanned, outarmed, yet Israel prevails. Now, how, you know, why? Well, because they are God's people. And so now the whole world is going to turn against them. And they're going to be in siege, according to verse 2. And so the beast is going to, what this is saying is that the beast is going to invade Judah and lay siege to the city of Jerusalem. For a brief period, he gains an apparent victory over the city. It looks like Jerusalem is going to fall. Now, according to Isaiah, and we're going to look at these verses here in just a little bit, but according to Isaiah and according to Joel, which we have looked at extensively, and according to Zechariah, the forces in Judah and Jerusalem will be incapable of offering resistance. They're going to be incapable of offering resistance. But look at chapter 14 of Zechariah for just a moment. All right, look at chapter 14 and look at verse 1. It says, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and they spoil, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee." Now, folks, look here. I need to show you one thing. Look here. You read all the time the day of the Lord, right? You remember, you read that all the time. And somebody will say, well, is that the rapture? Yeah, it is. Was that the return, the second coming? Yep, it is. Huh, well, is that the millennium? Yep, sure is. You say, well, I'm confused, Pastor. Well, don't be. Don't be. The day of the Lord begins when the Lord Jesus steps out on the clouds and calls the church and the dead in Christ up. All right? And it goes all the way to the end of the millennium and the great white throne judgment. That's the day of the Lord. So you have to understand the context of the passage of Scripture that you're reading in order to figure out in that 1,007-year period, which specific part of the day of the Lord is being discussed. All right? Does that make sense to you? And that's probably why a lot of folks, you know, they throw their hands up in the air, because they'll read, the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord. And they say, well, I thought that was the rapture. And the rapture, this is not the rapture that he's dealing with here. And notice, it's both Old Testament and New Testament. So it's consistent throughout the scriptures that the day of the Lord is from the rapture to the end of the millennium. All right, so look at verse 1. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against who? Why? To battle. Exactly. And the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth. All right, now notice this. Verse 3. Then shall the Lord go forth. So what's going to happen is that the Antichrist is going to take his army, and they're going to attack Jerusalem. And it's going to be ugly. And it's going to be terrible. And many, many people are going to die in this battle. But when it looks like Israel is defeated and Jerusalem is going to fall into the hands of the Antichrist, then the Lord is going to come back. Verse 3, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. Now, can you just fathom that day? Aren't you glad you're going to be in heaven when all this happens? All right, now you're on the edge now. You're ready to come back. You know the time is drawing near. And just as I would say, the Antichrist is rallying his army and his troops, I dare say the Lord Jesus up in heaven is going to be rallying his troops and getting us all ready. And remember now, we've all got glorified bodies, so you're going to be good, okay? You don't have to worry about a thing. You're good, all right? So don't get nervous and don't get afraid, because we got a book that tells us how it all ends, and we win. It's just that simple. All right, so Zechariah says, then the Lord shall go forth and fight against those nations. All right, and so now in back in Revelation 16, now we are going to come to the last vial, to the last plague. One last vial of wrath remains to be poured out upon mankind. The angel of the seventh plague was waiting for the arrival of the multitudes in the Valley of Decision, the Valley of Megiddo. And then would come the pouring out of this final bowl, this final vial. All right, now let's look at it. back to chapter 16 of Revelation. And let's look first of all at verse 17. All right. And notice in verse 17, the voice of God speaks. The voice of God speaks. It says, and the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. And there came a great, what? Voice. A great voice out of the temple of heaven. Now, I don't know if you remember this, but when the children of Israel got out in the desert, when they got across the Red Sea, and they got out in the desert, God told Moses that he wanted him to build a tabernacle. He said, I want you to build a tabernacle. And he said, I'm going to show you what that tabernacle looks like. So God took Moses and showed him the tabernacle in heaven. Now, can you imagine that? All right. He showed him the pattern and etched it in his mind so that when he would come back, he would know what God wanted. He wanted the one on earth to be just like the one in heaven. And then you'll remember that they did away with the tabernacle and Solomon built the temple. And the Lord has a temple in heaven. And so what we're going to see here in this is this voice comes out of the temple in heaven. Now, there's going to be a temple on the earth. Remember, the Antichrist is going to make a peace treaty and allow Israel to build their temple on the Temple Mount. And so there will be a peace treaty made and the temple will be there. But this voice does not come out of the earthly temple. It comes out of the heavenly temple. And John, if you'll remember, has heard many great voices in heaven and from many sources. But this is the first that is said to emanate directly from the throne in the temple in heaven. This is the first mention of that happening. So, what's this show us? Well, it shows us that this voice is none other than God Almighty himself. All right? He hears the voice of God. And what does God say? All right? Now, remember, he's gathered them all together. All right? All the seal judgments have done their thing. All of the trumpet judgments have done their thing. The whole earth is reeling under the wrath and the fierceness of the winepress of God Almighty. Everything is upside down. The whole world is in chaos. And yet God sends them strong delusion and they believe the lie of the dragon. They believe it. They swallow it hook, line, and sinker. And now, all of a sudden, with everything in place, with it all ready, the voice speaks. And what does it say? It is done. It is done. All right? The wrath, the judgment, the tribulation, it's done. It's done. And folks, it's about to get real, real ugly. In other words, folks, the earth is fully prepared now for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ out of heaven with all of his raptured saints, and he's ready to come to do battle and to decide once and for all who is God. Remember, Armageddon means the hill of the telling. It is going to tell everything. It's going to tell who is God. And the voice says, it is done. In other words, everything is prepared. All right, now, hold your place here once again. And let me take you over to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 4. Remember that the book of Hebrews was written to the Hebrews to get the Hebrews to quit being Hebrews. Okay. He wants them to be Christians. Get out of that old Judaism. All right, look at chapter 4 and look, please, at verse 1. He said, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all of his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. All right, now, I want you to look, please, back at verse 3, and I want you to see that little word finished. Do you see that little word? That word is the exact same word as what is in chapter 16 and verse 17. It's the exact same word, okay? When it says that it is done, it is done. The word done in 16:17 is the exact same word that is used here when it's talking about the creation of the world and the fact that the Lord Jesus came into this world eventually and provided us a salvation, and that salvation is one day going to give us rest. How many of you are tired? Raise your hand. See, one of these days you're going to get to rest. And it's going to be good rest. It's not going to be that, your muscles twitching and nightmares and all the other stuff that goes with life down here. No, it's going to be perfect rest. Yes. Amen. All right, so it is done. And so the author of Hebrews is saying, hey, listen, when I finished creating everything, God said, when I finished creating everything and spoke the world into existence, I said, it is done. It is done. It is finished. And I rested. And that same rest is now going to be yours. So don't fear. Don't worry. It is done. Folks, again, I emphasize, when you get discouraged and you get down and you look at our world today and you see all the foolishness, and I'm telling you, folks, with this administration, it's almost like, okay, here is the logical, reasonable, common sense thing to do. Oh, okay, well, let's just do the opposite. And so when you get to the place where you're about ready to pull your hair out, just read the end of the book. Yeah, too late. John said, too late. Figuratively speaking. Just read the end of the book. It's done. It's done. We win. I mean, it's a done deal. All right? So, verse 17, the voice of God speaks. Now look at verse 18. In verse 18, we notice the voice of destruction speaks. The voice of destruction speaks. Look at it. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings. And there was a great earthquake such as was not since men were upon the earth. So mighty an earthquake and so great. So now the voice of destruction speaks. Three times before in the book of the Revelation, John has heard voices and thunderings and lightnings in heaven. Three times before. Remember, three is always a number of completion. Exactly right. And he heard them just before the seals and the trumpets and the vials were unleashed. He heard them right before them. And on the last two, there was also an accompanying earthquake that happened. Now, this final earthquake is without precedent. It is without parallel. There will have never been such an earthquake on this planet. And here's the amazing thing, folks. Now, remember, this happens just before the Battle of Armageddon. I don't know how many weeks or how many months or how many days, but it's done. Don't forget that. All right? It's done. Everything's ready. So let's go back to the Old Testament now for just a moment, and let's look at what the Old Testament prophets had to say about this earthquake. Oh, and by the way, there are three references to it. Three is a number of what? Okay, go to the book of Isaiah first. Isaiah. And let's go to chapter 24. Isaiah 24. And let's look at verse 17. All right, everybody there? All right, fear and the pit and the snare are upon thee, O inhabitant of the earth. Now, he's talking about the judgment of the tribulation period. And it shall come to pass that he who fleeth from the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit. And he that cometh up out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in the snare. In other words, you're going to try and escape, you're not going to be able to. You can't get away from the judgment. All right? You think, oh, there's a snare, I'm going to run this way. Yeah, and then you fall in a pit. You say, oh, there's a pit, I'm going to run this way. Yep, and then a snare catches you and you're hanging upside down by your ankle. Okay? And so, why? Well, look at the middle of verse 18. For the windows from on high are open, and the foundations of the earth do shake. The earth is utterly, what's the next word? Broken down. broken down. The earth is clean, dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage, and the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth. And they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered in the pit, and shall be shut up in the prison, and after many days shall they be visited. So what's that talking about? Well, it's saying the same thing that the book of the Revelation is saying, that the beast and the Antichrist, the false prophet are going to be taken by the nape of the neck, and they're going to be thrown into the bottomless pit. The devil is going to be grabbed by the throat, thrown into the pit. Now he's going to be visited at the end of the 1,000 years and loosed for a little season. And that's what it means, that it will be many days and he will be visited. All right. So that's the first one. Now let's go over to the book of, let's go to Joel next. All right. Let's go to the book of Joel. And let's see, what chapter do I want? Chapter 3. Joel chapter 3. All right, if you will look, please, at verse 16. All right. Well, let's go back and get 14. It says, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. All right, so at the Battle of Armageddon, that's what he's calling them to. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. Now watch this. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion, and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall what? Shake. There you go. There you go. All right, so Joel talked about it. All right, one more before we close. One more. Let's see. Go over to the book of Haggai. All right. The book of Haggai. Let's see, chapter... Where is it? I want it. 2? Yeah, chapter 2. All right. Haggai is between Zephaniah and Zechariah. It's a small little tiny book, 2 chapters. All right. So chapter 2, look at verse 6. Everybody got it? For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once... It is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, folks, that's a pretty good size earthquake, if you want my opinion. All right. One more verse. What time is it? Oh, my goodness. All right. Look at Isaiah real quickly. You've sung these verses. If you've ever been to Handel's Messiah, you have heard these verses. If you've ever been in a chorus, and performed Handel's Messiah. You've sung this, all right? Let's look, please, at Isaiah 40, and look, please, if you will, at verse 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley, watch this now, this is prophetic. Every valley, it has not happened yet, but it's going to happen. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Amen. Now, what's that prophecy saying? Well, Isaiah was saying that there is coming a day when the earth is going to so violently shake. There's going to be such a devastating earthquake that is going to touch every part of this world. And all the mountains are going to be made low. And all the valleys are going to be filled in. Every mountain and hill shall be made low. All right? That's pretty cool, isn't it? The rough way shall be made straight. You know, West Virginia is going to be as big as Alaska. They're going to smash all those hills down. It's going to be as big as Alaska. You watch. Amen. That's pretty cool, isn't it? By the way, look at verse 22. Look at verse 22. He said, it is he that sitteth upon the what? Huh. Isaiah said the earth was a circle. 700 years before Jesus. All they had to do back in Columbus's day and Magellan's day and DeGamo, what's his name? DeGama. All they had to do is read the Bible and they would have known the earth was round. It's right, isn't it? All right. Well, we'll stop there. Not done, of course, but guess I'm finished. All right, Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for your wonderful word. And Father, we can go back into the Old Testament and see these things prophesied hundreds and hundreds of years before the Lord was born. So our Lord was born 2,000 years ago. So Father, I just pray you'll help us to realize that this has to be your divine book. There's no way men could have come up with this. And Father, you put these prophecies here to validate the New Testament and what is going to happen. So I pray that you'll give us faith in your word. Help us to go home, read and reread and study these verses and get them etched and settled in our minds. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.